Well, welcome to the next edition of the Digital Workplace Deep Dive podcast. I'm your host, Weston Morris. Well, if you listen to episode 52, you saw that we've been continuing a theme of AI and generative AI. In fact, my guest, Alan Shen, and I talked at length about what's been missing in Gen AI, especially to get a return on investment. And one of the things that we realized is that what's missing in Gen AI is AI, traditional AI, making use of traditional AI techniques to curate knowledge, to capture the knowledge and integrate it with these large language models to make them effective. So in this episode, I'm going to continue that discussion. I'd like to actually dive into how AI, both generative AI and traditional AI, are being used effectively in the real world in the service desk. I mean, we've all been living with this failed promise of IT, where we've been hearing that technology is just going to make the service desk go away. It's all going to be automated. Our problems will be solved automatically. And we're not there yet, right? That magic, that instance resolution just isn't real yet. So I really have gathered a couple of experts here to help us figure out exactly where AI, generative AI, are making sense and people are using it, and maybe even collect some lessons learned and maybe take a little glimpse into the future. My guests have been featured speakers at several industry events this year, ranging from the Experience 2024 conference, the Forrester CX Summit, and most recently, Enterprise Connect. My guests are Brett Weigel, Senior Vice President of Product for AI at Genesys, and Aaron Meyer, Solution Manager for Digital Workplace Solutions here at Unisys. Brett, Aaron, thanks for taking some time away from your speaking engagements to talk with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to be here, Weston.
So, Brad, I think I might start with you. Let's just get right into it. What is the most obvious area that service desk and service desk technology can be making use of AI today?
Well, I think the obvious place to go is containment, the idea that you can provide self-service and with newer forms of AI fully contain those requests, which means that you're employees on the service desk can spend time on higher value activities. You know, we've got a customer at Genesys who has spent a lot of time sending every customer interaction through AI first. Some of it still goes to humans. Some is fully contained, but with that, they've increased the level of self-service by 80% since they started several years ago. Really looking at top service request types, and really to look at what's the effort being expended to solve those issues. And it turns out a lot of them can really be solved through self-service.
Well, Brett, that makes a lot of sense. You know, AI still isn't at the level of a human, not quite yet. It makes sense to do what you just described, feed the easier problems, feed those through AI, and then leave the harder ones for your live agents. But that makes me, you know, wonder. I says, okay, well, if our thinking about how SLAs and KPIs are typically set up for a service desk, it's making me wonder if I make that change where my live agents are pretty much only getting the hard stuff. It's making me think that possibly we need to make some changes to how we organize our service desk, operate it, and measure it. I mean, Aaron, Brett, what are you thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, first off, it starts with greater attention to agent skills. Right. The better the bots get, the harder the interactions are that make it through to the humans. And that's also where the greater emphasis comes in on human empathy as well. Consumers expect the bots to be transactional, but their expectations of the humans continues to increase as well. It's not just good enough to get things done, but they're paying closer attention to the experience they're getting while we're providing these services for them. So a big consequence of that is increase in handle times. So, you know, just so you were kind of alluding to there, orgs likely need to start recalibrating their workforce management to ensure they're not squeezing the balloon at both ends, that they're accommodating for that extra agent time to handle those tougher problems, to be able to take time to engage with their customers, show the empathy. And ultimately, too, they may consider how that affects their KPIs, like speed of answer and things like that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Aaron. I think that idea that So calls may be more complex, chats may be more complex, they take a longer time. So it's never been more important to make sure that you're managing the quality end of things. What experience are those customers who reach out actually having with those advisors? And the idea of kind of applying AI to that is now possible as well, right? Let's use AI not only on the front end, but also to evaluate how things are going. And then it's really important to also have a lens into what journeys are customers taking who reach out if they've had a part of that interaction be self-service and then part with an agent. How efficient was that? How much effort did they have to expend? And were the paths convenient and optimized to the problem type they actually have?
I don't think I'd ever thought about that, Brett, because a lot of people are using journey analytics to measure how people work their way through a system. It's being used in a lot of areas, but especially in service desk. Historically, I think we're looking at it solely from their interaction with the live agents. But what I hear you saying is we also need to start thinking about measuring the experience that people have with the virtual agent as well.
End to end. And it's really convenient, by the way, if a virtual agent can output the same kind of data that helps you to measure the quality of that as well, right? So it's not only the sequential path, but also, that's also a conversation. Was it a good conversation? The more that Gen AI lets self-service become more human, we're going to really have to look at the quality of those conversations too.
And Aaron, you talked about workforce management and training. As we give harder problems to the service desk, I mean, do you see a time where really that level one agent, what we call level one today, kind of that part disappears, Aaron, or do they have a different role? How are things changing with your different skill levels within the service desk?
Yes, ultimately, I think we're seeing more of what may have been traditionally level one agents really becoming level 1.5. And I think that's just going to continue to elevate what we may have considered to be level two before is going to kind of become that front door of human agent interactions.
So far, Brett and Aaron, we've been talking about how AI is used in the most obvious sense, right? It's that touch point that I, as a caller or a person looking for help, and reaching out to the service desk, and my first contact is with this virtual agent, a generative AI type chatbot. But I've got to believe AI and generative AI can actually play a role behind the scenes too. So, what, how is that being used today, or will it be used?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the amount of assistive technology is really growing. Agent Copilot kind of technologies can really help to whisper in the agent's ear what they should be saying. What content can they use? I think a lot of your prior discussion on knowledge, right, is really relevant here because a lot of content-based kind of service experiences really require a way to generate answers out of whole manuals, long knowledge articles, things like that. So, I think what we really want to do is, prompt with suggested solutions, and we want to make things more efficient, sort of at that point of need when the agent might actually have to, hunt for answers.
Yeah, I think just tagging on that, using things like Agent Assist and Agent Copilot, that's doing that automatic surfacing of knowledge and helping to highlight those relevant sections, and in some cases, kind of generalizing a summarized answer for that agent, allows them to spend more time engaged with the end user or engaged with the customer, and less time, searching the knowledge base and looking up information. It certainly, that's the thing that we're seeing on so far with these technologies that helps to offset a bit of that higher level of difficulty the agents are handling is, a reduction in some reduction in handle time, and especially a reduction in hold time, putting the customers on hold to go do that research and then come back to them with an answer. Now they're getting that right up front. So in a sense, it's kind of making them bionic or giving the agents a bit of superpowers.
And
The
Aaron, I
other
know
thing.
you've been digging into this a little bit with, in the real world. What kind of reductions in time are you seeing as you employ this, agent whispering in the virtual agent whispering in the ear of our live agents? Do you have some numbers you can share?
Yeah, so as the technology continues to evolve, the improvements continue to get better. But we're seeing things right now on the order of like an 8 to 10% improvement in overall handle time.
I was just going to jump in, Weston and Aaron. Sorry about that. Just about, I think another thought is that a lot of service experiences arrive at something transactional that then needs to happen. It's, upfront, I'm trying to figure out what the problem is. Gen AI can really help with that. Knowledge article, all these things are helpful. Ultimately, I've got to go do something. A lot of times, what you can do is prove out those processes with agents, getting them more efficient just with scripting it. Some of that can also apply to self-service as well. You prove it out with human in the loop, but eventually, why can't a customer do it directly? So there's a real opportunity there to kind of look at that overall process improvement lens as we apply these technologies.
So Brad, I'd like to dig into that just a little bit more and understand how that works. So is that the type of thing, we have within a service desk, there's the agents themselves, and then there's the, person overseeing a group of them or coaching them. That level in the organization, that person that's overseeing multiple agents, is AI helping them as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the problem of being a team lead or a supervisor is difficult at best, especially if there's live calls, live chats, you're trying to monitor everything. You really want alerts, right? But you also need digests, summaries, and interpretations of what's actually happening. The traditional method is you cherry pick and you have to read or listen to all of the verbatims, and then you make your own judgments via a tagging system and then invoking workflow. But AI can take over some of that job as well, and really provide more of the ability to scale for the supervisor.
Cool. So I guess so far we've actually identified three different areas where AI and generative AI can play a role in the service desk. Just to recap what I'm hearing, number one, obviously talking to the service desk, the virtual agent. Number two, the agent themselves having this agent co-pilot whispering in their ear saying, hey, here's a, talk nicer, or here's a solution, that kind of thing. But the third one you just brought up is taking another step back, and that's the team lead overseeing multiple agents and providing some guidance as to how to help them improve. I really love that. Let's see if we can get one more. This was, I think, one I'd like to tie back to the podcast that I did with Alan Shen, the most recent episode, where we were looking at knowledge management and curating knowledge management, something that he has really put a lot of thought into. But let's move from theory to the real world. I mean, Aaron, what are your thoughts on how we can use AI to help us curate the knowledge that then the generative AI or even live agents are making use of?
Yeah, so I think this is one of the super cool things that that our AI team is doing, because we have those interactions that are happening up front with the with our Gen AI bot, and then we have that wealth of expert interactions that our agents are going through as well, both in the through their transcripts as well as what's documented in tickets. We're taking the AI and pointing it at that information as well. And so it's able to start surfacing for us where are the gaps in that knowledge that we fed it on the front end that it let leak through to agents. And it's able to then make recommendations to us based on what it found in that expert conversation that happened with the live agent in Genesis through to the tickets that we're documenting. And we just have to add the knowledge manager human in the loop process to review that suggestion. And then, approve it to be published, and that now becomes available immediately, both for the bot for those next interactions, as well as for the agent.
Yeah, I would say from a Genesis perspective, we really focus on the idea that knowledge is an asset that gets applied across channels, it gets applied across experiences in a flexible way. So yeah, the idea of kind of leveraging for self-service and for agent assisted, and even for thinking about infusing into a web or mobile experience up front, so search can take place at the front end. Those types of things are all great use cases. And I would just say also that I think a lot of organizations have modernization that's needed about where all of the knowledge lives in the first place, right? To get more of a simplified view of that and to be conscious about those curation and approval pipelines, which I know Unisys is really focused on and has a great approach to that.
Yeah, you hit on something there, Brett, that I really do agree with. That is, traditionally, a lot of the knowledge is it's in knowledge articles and it's in an ITSM platform, and people view that as the place and it's the only place. But there is just things are changing so quickly. We have IT, the digital workplace, the tools we're using changes, the apps we're using changes, where we work, how we work, and how we get help needs to change and be reactive like that. And that knowledge, a lot of times, is in someone's head. So how do we capture the knowledge that is not just on paper, digital paper, written down somewhere, structured knowledge, but capturing maybe even conversations in a chat, capturing knowledge from an expert, and accurately feeding that in. And this is an area where I like what you would describe, both of you here. AI can play a role in finding it, but then there is a curation process step where we definitely want to have the human looking over the edge, over the shoulder of the bot here, and making sure that it's done properly. Yeah, great points. Well, gentlemen, this is an exciting space. There are just so many cool things that are helping to reduce the digital friction that employees run into on a daily basis. But I know one thing is true, and that is you just don't throw a switch, turn all this on, and all of a sudden AI, the bots are all just working. There is some additional effort that's required, and we're also need to keep our eye on the future. So, I mean, what are your thoughts about what's next in this space?
I mean, I think the one thing I would throw out that we haven't really talked about is that I think the age of being able to realize a next best action framework in a more comprehensive and human way is going to be possible so that we can get customers what they need in a really personalized way, sensitive to their journey. That's going to require, yes, Gen AI, but also more traditional AI. To the point of your prior podcast, it's not all Gen AI. Predictive technology has a huge role to play in terms of how do we actually thread that needle and get the customer not only their answer, but their answer sensitive to the journey that they're on. And then, I think even further out, right? How can AI start to make its own decisions, become more autonomous? I'm a service advisor who needs a job to be done in the back office. Can AI run away with that and come back and report back when it's done? That is a huge area of focus with agentic frameworks. A lot of AI companies are looking really seriously at that. And so there's going to be great things to come on that front too.
Brett, I'm going to steal that next best action phrase. That's a good one. Because really, if we don't get to a resolution or an action, it to me this is all a waste of time, right? It's just all theoretical. Aaron, what are your thoughts about what somebody needs or an enterprise needs to be doing and thinking about as they are, jumping into this wild west of AI here?
Yeah, well, I think maybe to make sure that organizations are not having it just be the Wild West for them is really thinking about the data. And I'm sure many organizations have likely already put into place some kind of levels of data classification, whether it's public or confidential or restricted. But also they need to be thinking about considering the temporal nature of that data as well, right? Is this article out of date? Is it still relevant? And then thirdly is the persona roles within the organization. Should this individual have access to this data, or should this individual outside the organization have access to this data? And so when you think about those three key attributes, of every one of those data sources that you're going to use to feed, whether it's the AI bot on the front end or it's your assistive AI that's helping your employees and your agents, my recommendation is to make sure that you're starting with that data classification, as it'll really pay off when you are feeding AI those data sets.
Well, Brett Weigel, Aaron Meyer, it has been great talking to you both today. We've captured at least four distinct areas where AI and Gen AI can play a role in the service desk, and it's real world stuff, but also some cautions and lessons learned. I really appreciate it. I want to thank you both for joining us here today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Weston. Thanks for having me, and great to talk with you, Aaron, as always. Folks have questions, feel free to reach out on LinkedIn. My handle is slash Brett Weigel, all one string. You can get me there, and look forward to continuing the discussions.
Yeah, and thanks, Weston. And likewise, I love answering questions about all things customer experience and AI. So feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm also just like my name, slash Aaron Meyer, all one string.
Excellent. Well, we'll share those links in the podcast notes as well. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your speaking schedule to speak with me on our podcast today. Well, folks, you've been listening to Brett Weigel, the Senior Vice President of Product for AI at Genesys, and Aaron Meyer, the Solution Manager for Digital Workplace Solutions here at Unisys. I'm your host, Weston Morris. Thanks for listening.